Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Chapter 1, Zechariah chapter 10, from verse 1 to 4. Now let's take our seats quietly. Spiritual warfare series part five. Now let's look at Zechariah chapter 10. There's a whole lot of stuff here, but I want you to pay attention. And if you have the screen where you are, please look at it. Are you there? It says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. So the cloud shall make what? Bright clouds. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. So the Lord is saying here that there are certain things you do not receive until you have made a formal request. It's an error to assume that the Lord knows. Yes, He knows. But He says, ask. He says, ask. You must be very specific what you're asking for. Are you asking for a shower or are you asking for a rain? Many times we ask for showers, but the Lord gives us rain because we are not even ready for what we are. If the Lord gives you shower, you can go out you can still go out, take a bus. When the Lord gives you rain, it can disrupt your world. What some of us are asking for, we're asking for rain. There are some kind of rains that can even uproot the roof of your house. So you've got to be ready when you are asking God for certain things, because sometimes we really don't even understand that what we are asking God for is to disrupt our world. But the Lord says if you ask, then He will make bright clouds. Hallelujah. The Lord said, if we ask, what will He do? He will make bright clouds. Please, I want you to follow this verse. The bright clouds represents the process to releasing the rain. Most of us abort process when we see the clouds forming, because what we asked for was rain. And the Lord says, once you see the bright clouds. Now, let me ask you a question. When it's about to rain, what do you see? Bright clouds or dark clouds? Can you see that the process God follows usually does not really flow in the way we perceive or discern? God says, what I want to give to you will not come from dark clouds. Anytime you see dark clouds, it could represent that a storm or a rain is coming. It could also mean spiritual warfare. Battles that are happening in the second heavens. Now, let me just say this and I won't explain it now. Please stay with me. When Adam fell from sin, it was not only the earth that fell. Come on, are you here? You know, what we usually teach and talk about is that Adam fell, the earth became cursed, right? At least, we know of at least three heavens. Some people claim they know seven, but they have not been able to justify it. So the first heaven in this regard speaks to the cloud above us, the one that everybody can see. Please, are you with me? The second heaven speaks to what? The domain where you have the planetary bodies. Something could be happening in our domain on this side of heaven, but may not be happening at the second heaven. I've been in Jos for a few days. So I got back yesterday. And we couldn't land when we got to Lagos for over 30 minutes. Even the Chinese and the Indians in the plane could not sleep. But I slept. Or rather, I was waiting because my wife was downstairs waiting for me and I need to get there so she doesn't spend too much time at the airport. But this is, the captain said, we cannot land due to, what's that language? Climatic, is it weather conditions? That the weather is not suitable for landing. But where we were, there was no rain. But below us, there was rain. Come on, are you here now? That's what I'm... So when I come second service, I will talk to you about resistance, how to deal with resistance in spiritual warfare. So we were up there, 22,000 feet above sea level. There was no rain. We were in the midst with the angels, with the clouds. But below us, there was a storm. So you needed to look way down to see that even though we were in the air, we were not having the same experience. But every time the plane tried to descend, there's turbulence. So that's the reason. I will come for second service. So there is the first heaven, second heaven. That second heaven is where you won't see clouds again. You will see stars. You will see all those things you see in your geography textbook. Those planetary bodies. Then you know, it's either I'm alive or dead. Because you are probably just there with three people in that spaceship. Your regular Boeing 737 will not survive there. I hope you know. Oh, some of you like big planes. Because you like things big. You like big things. Even though physically you are small. But you like big cars. I said your Boeing 737 may be suitable to take you from here to Dubai. But if it moves into that place, it will disintegrate. So this is why many people are fighting spiritual battles and notice they are falling sick. That's what I'm explaining to you. They are fighting battles above their level. Above their protocol level. Are you with me now? Oh, are you guys here? So, when Adam sinned, the earth fell, the first heavens fell, that's our own world. The second heavens fell into the hands of Satan. That was already possessed by demons, but it became official. Below the earth, it fell. Compartments were created, Tartarus, the place of the dead. Alright? That's where people who die go to. That's where you have Abraham's bosom. So the earth fell, the first heavens fell, second heavens fell, below the earth fell. So the crime of Adam was not just between, because it was not an apple. If it was an apple, that punishment is too much. Are you with me? If it was an apple that created that problem, why we are all here? Eh? The punishment God gave him was too much. God lost at least 5 layers of creation. 5 layers. Earth, first heavens, second heavens. There are at least 3 levels below the earth. Are you with me? Come on, are you here? So, maybe one of these will come and talk about that again. So, I'm telling you that when the Lord tells you, I will send you rain and you begin to see bright clouds, it does not mean that God doesn't know what he's saying. The bright cloud there speaks of revelation. There speaks of the move of the Spirit. Speaks of what God is about to do. But there's something in verse 2. Give me the second verse. Now, in verse 1, were you able to identify with the fact that God was willing to do something for you? Huh? Were you able to identify with that? Now, look at verse 2. For the idols have what? I thought they said idols are dead. They said for the idols have spoken. Give me Amplified. Let me see what Amplified says here. If you have Amplified version. People left their village, came to Lagos, and they started They wondered why they came to Lagos and they became very vain. There are utterances. Look at this. For the terrapin, household what? Now, I wish this was not in the Bible, because some people spend half of their ministry trying to explain to people that there's nothing like spiritual warfare. May they not open your file. There's a level you get to spiritually, you become so strong, even demons run away from you. But don't tell people that there's nothing like spiritual warfare. That you found a way to rationalize it. And say, God give it, God take it, and you are fine with it, does not mean that there is nothing like spiritual warfare. And that, in fact, this is one of my major concerns this morning, to lay a biblical foundation for the concept and theory of spiritual warfare. If you don't understand it, you will be shocked. And it may happen, and your theology will begin to fight you. The beautiful thing about spiritual warfare is that we have been given power over snakes and scorpions. But for you to understand the purpose of the power, you must understand your enemy. Come on, are you here now? The scripture says, for the teraphims, the household idols, they speak wickedness. You know what wickedness is? Let's go for blood. Let's take his job. Let's take away his peace. Let's put him in a depressed state. Let's dismantle. Do you know that there's a level of depression you get to? Satan does not need to fight you again. You, by itself, you'll be destroying everything. Come on, are you here? Have you ever woken up and nothing made sense to you? Going down to work, coming back, like, okay, what's all these things? Wearing shirt, wearing tie, all these things are altogether vanity. They pay you your salary, before you split it, it's gone. Some of you are very rich. If you are like myself, when I used to work at the bank, the money finishes either that day or the next day, because the several mouths waiting. It's like you are working for everybody. So what I started doing was that once I get my salary, I will order for food. On the island though, I order for the food my own boss cannot buy. I'm not joking. After now, the money's you'll just be getting debit alert. As you are, I know those debit, you know they take. As you are sending it, you'll be seeing it that this money has gone. And you have some very wicked friends. They know they pay you on the 24th. They know. So you turn off your phone, eat, enjoy yourself. I order for in those days of the place, when the place used to be the place, I will order for ofada rice, ofada meat sauce, ofada meat, plantain. I'll just order for several things. They will bring it to the office. This one is not going to queue. Bring it. And I'll say, I want to go and eat. You should be working. Soft drink, water, everything. I'll sit down. Eat it slowly. Those kind of food, don't rush it. Because once you rush your money, if you rush, your money has gone. No, you have to take your time. Ah, they said there's a client waiting. Say, let them. I'm coming. You chew the food. You know, some of you don't know how to chew, but when you are spending like 5,000, as I like 7 years ago, 5,000 on food, you take your time. You chew it. You feel the way the thing is going. And you know the way you drink. Some of you just pour the bottle of Coke. No, you put it. It's your money. After today, you get home, your wife will collect, everybody will collect. Everybody. It's like a collecting day. You just collect. 3 days after, all you have left is just maybe money for transport. That even the bus driver is going to collect. You will not be poor. Amen. The days are coming. Your bank balance will not bother you. Amen. The household idols, these are idols that know you. They know your family. They know your family tree. They know your family history. They know that you are the first person trying to break out of your family and become something unique. They know. You don't know because you just got to this world 25 years ago. They know your great grandfather. These are household idols. They reside in the family. Argue with your keeper this in the Bible. If you don't at least deal with the fact that these things are there, you won't be able to deal with them. Because you spend most of your time in denial. Have you ever asked yourself why they gave you that name? Some of you actually need a name change. Say the household idols have spoken what? Wickedness. So when you are going to the place of prayer, you also go with vengeance. Come on now. You go with what? Vengeance. Because you've seen this thing, it happened to your dad. There are people that will never start having health problems until they are 60. Because that's the age when people fall sick in their family. All of a sudden, the man that used to be everybody's favorite uncle is going from hospital to hospital to hospital. But he used to be everybody's favorite uncle. But he spent his time solving everybody's problem. Now he's 60. Nobody to even give him money. Because they are still waiting for him to be well so that he can still give them money. Come on, say God forbid. Say they have spoken wickedness. Now, this category, you will find them in their subdivision or the lower category of spiritual wickedness in high places. These are household idols. They demand worship. They can hide in the family. You won't know they are there. But if you ignore them for too long, they will make things happen. You see that you're tight. Eh? Your family, many of us, our families have been given to Satan for years. But there are certain things we needed to be doing that we are no longer doing because of education and exposure. And then you are not even a tither. You understand? The issue of tithe is not really that God needs your money. It's insurance. That's number one. The second thing about tithe is that it's covenant. You are saying to God that this 500K you gave to me, I honor you that it is by your mercies that I'm not going. Thank you. And why some of you are arguing that you cannot give 10%? Those who serve Satan, go and see what they are doing for their oracle. Then you now wonder why it is those that are strong, that believe, that know their God, that are usually strong. Not those who say they know God. Those that are strong are those who are sacrifice driven. Because you say you know your idol, you know what he likes. This idol is palm oil. He doesn't drink anything. It's only palm oil. If you give him rice, he won't take. But he likes palm oil. In their kingdom, it's palm oil. In quote. Also, devils can be ruthless. Yet they can hide. And one of the ways to know is that you will be seeing certain patterns in the family. Once you begin to see certain things, even to the best of all of you, you will see certain things. This one married 2 times. This one married 3 times. This one married 2 times. This one married 3 times. 2 died. You have seen a pattern. So it's not the time for you to say, those things are... This. Many people who have died in Africa did not need to die. Most of our deaths here, they are not natural, according to African magic. It's always one lightning. If you are from the southeast, it's lightning that will strike you on the road, that you fall down, then you start confessing. In Yoruba people, they run mad. And before you think those things have no meaning, I want you to know that the Yorubas have a particular concept that has to do with mad people. They believe they are divine beings. That's why a madman in a Yoruba film can give a prophecy, even though he's eating rubbish. And that's why when you want to be judged, you can run mad and die from there. Or you can run mad. That area where you used to be known, you will start, that will be your headquarters, where you'll be, you know that man, he was the owner of that building, he's now mad, that's it. It's a spirit now. But these are theories and theologies that even though we say we've gone to school, somewhere in our mind, we see them around us. We don't fight it. We don't argue it. Because somehow we are comfortable with them. That's how household idols are. You are not with them, but you are comfortable around them. They are like the big dogs or the wild animals in your compound. They don't bite family members. Eh? As long as you don't, you are not offensive, they leave you. But the day they demand for something and you don't give them, that's the day you will know that not all dogs are dogs. Some are lions. Give me that scripture. He said there's spoken wickedness and in bracket emptiness and worthlessness. Do you see where depression is coming from? Do you see that feeling of not being enough? After doing so many things, you went to a master's, got a PhD, you still feel less of yourself. It's good to go to school, but it's not necessarily what will make you who you are in Christ. Because now you thought you didn't get a job because you are not educated. Now you've gotten a master's. Nobody is even asking you what you have. So you now begin to ask yourself, so what do you people really want? The King James Version of this, Zechariah 10:2, say, the idols speak deceitfully. That means when they talk, it is with the intention to deceive you, set a trap, and hold you in bondage. Look at the next verse, and there's something. Okay, no, stay here. Towards the end of that verse, second verse. Go back to the later hand. Look at this. You see why I have to tell you this thing. Look at it. Verse 2. He said, the diviners have seen a lie and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Listen, the reason why I have to tell you this thing is because as a pastor, if I don't, look at the impact on the flock. There are people that go to some of these churches in Lagos where everything is cool. They sing foreign songs. They dance to foreign music. Everybody is coordinated and calculated. But they also know that their pastor is not anointed. Are you here? They know. They are not dragging it. We know. So when they have a problem, they will come here. Or they'll go to MFM. Or go to Redemption Camp. But they cannot identify with all these places publicly. They like those places where everybody is, it's as if you are going to the bank in the morning or you are going to Chevron. Everybody is dressed in a particular way. Bling, bling, sharp, sharp. But between you and myself and the next usher and the next prayer band member, we all know our pastor is not anointed. He cannot talk about this thing because if he tries it, the devil will invade him. It's not anybody that can talk about this thing, I'm saying. If some people try it, Satan will come after them. Say, you? You? You won't do it again. I will show you. But look, this is what I have to tell you. Look at what God said in verse 3. Third verse. He said, my anger was kindled against the pastors. And I punished the goat. For the Lord of hosts have visited the flock, his house of Judah, and made them as a goodly horse in battle. We have to talk about these things. When I finish this series, I'll come and talk to you about other things. But I have to do it so even God will not be angry with me. My goal here is for you to become trained and empowered to deal with these things. Now, when it comes to the subject of spiritual warfare, there are two groups in the church. There are some that believe there's nothing like spiritual warfare. So you come on a Sunday, you hear motivational messages, you're always singing and dancing. A lot of them, those churches, they sing and dance a lot. They don't believe in spiritual warfare. Even though Satan is dealing with them, they are losing babies. They are not, things are happening. But they don't see it. They are dancing their way to victory. There are many Bible verses that even support it. Didn't Jesus give us the victory? My brother, when Jesus died, he gave us the victory. And he told us, all power on heaven and on earth has been given to me. But in Acts chapter 26, Paul was recounting the revelation where Jesus met with him by the road of Damascus. And Jesus, he gave us a full account, different from the one in the earlier chapter in the book of Acts. And he said that God raised him and said, I want you to deliver these people from the power of Satan unto the power of God. Jesus in Acts chapter 26 said, that Paul was to bring people out from under the power of Satan. Excuse me, I thought when you died. Look for that verse for me. Some people think I'm lying. Go to Acts 26. Pastor David, quickly check that place. Check that scripture. Because some people are thinking, you know, now, if I tell something, I will show you in the Bible. So before you fight me, go and read that place first. Acts 26. Are you here? Verse 18. Acts 26:18. I want you to look at this. Because sometimes we go for meetings or we go for all these Bible meetings, conferences, you will hear things and you'll be shouting, yeah, yeah, yeah. Some of you don't even open Bible. They are only showing it on the screen. Look at it. To open their eyes and to turn them from what? Did you see darkness there? Darkness to what? And from what? Hello? Can you see the power of Satan there? Okay. Please back up to the 17th verse. Back up to 16. I want to know who is talking here. Go to verse 15. Let's identify who is talking, because some people want to be smarter. You can't be sharing rhema on what Jesus said. I say what Jesus said is what he said. Jesus doesn't speak rhema. The only time we hear all this is when other pastors are talking. Just read the, open the book and say what he's saying. Acts 26:14. And when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. Verse 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. Oh, now the implication of that phrase is that anything after now you cannot adjust. Are we here now? Come on, are we here now? You people are not with me. Are you here now? I said the implication of this statement, I am Jesus, is that nothing can be added to the word of God, that nothing can be taken away from, because Jesus is the word of God. Next verse. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto thee for what? This purpose. This is not a courtesy call. I know you're on your way to Damascus, but you came for an agenda, I came for an agenda. This is the reason why I've appeared to you. To make you what? A minister. Come on, say a minister. I have appeared to you to make you a minister. You cannot be called into the ministry based on boredom. There are people who go into ministry because they are bored. You will be bored out. That's why you find that ministry is muscle. It's not desire. Come on now. You might have had a desire to serve God, but the staying power doesn't come out of desire. You develop muscles. That's how you can stay in a place and be doing something for years. Even when nothing's happening physically. Because you develop muscles for it. To make you a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will later appear. Will later appear unto thee. Verse 17. To deliver the people, to deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee. 18. To open their eyes. That means the people I'm sending to, they are blind. Spiritually, they are blind. Physically, they are professors. They are doctors. They are experts. But spiritually, they are nothing. Because a spiritually blind man is not different from a spiritually dead man. A spiritually dead man is somebody who is not in Christ. A spiritually blind man is a believer who does not know truth. Their case is very more or less the same. He said, and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan. You see, this scripture gave me problem. That Jesus acknowledged that Satan has what? Now, do you think God is scared about Satan? But you should be concerned. Because even though the Lord said, "Behold, I give you power over snakes and scorpions," but if you do not look at the person who said that, who made that statement, and you align your life with his own, that power will not work. Come on, are you with me? So if you are an apprentice at a Shango shrine, and every morning your high priest will wake up and sing and dance before the oracle. He's a maybe like 60 years old man, but he sings and dance and pour oil and dance. Then you wake up, you are the apprentice, but you know you have masters. So just come. Yo, uncle, yo. Yo, you went to... We named you Osanho, but because you went to America and came back, you cannot even say yes or good morning. Say yo or hey. But I hope you are not planning for me to pray for you. Because I'm a pastor. I don't do yo and I don't do hey. You understand? So you will remain with your demons. Eh? Uh-huh. So this guy say yo. Yo, pops. Yo, pops. I will not be surprised if the demons break out against that man. Because you say you are an apprentice, but you want to define how you want to follow me. There is no other way. Every God is ancient. Every God is traditional. Forget the fact that in your films now, they are living in houses. Their oracles are in the deepest forest. And this is what the Lord has sent us to. This is the reason why we cannot possess many territories in Nigeria. Because we went with the gospel, but we didn't go with the power. That's why we go into families. And that's why when I minister to families, the first thing I do before praying for them is to have a short Bible study. Because the moment you see me, you somewhere in your mind just think, maybe this person is... no, so some of us are very ancient. That's why we don't listen to everybody. We don't listen to everybody. The moment I know you are not someone that loves to pray, we can be friends, but you can never be in my inner circle. If you don't have a love for the truth. You know, there's a difference between doctrine and revelation. Huh? When you listen to, you listen to this pastor, but somewhere in your mind, you prefer this one to this one. You know why? Because of the way he says what he says. It's not necessarily the anointing. He has a way of talking that you like. Which is why you listen. You think it's God. No, it's not God. You just like the way he yarns, he vibes. Eh? The way some of you like one musician more than the other, and you even go on Twitter and fight about it. Eh? You like the way this one talks, and he synchronizes, and analyzes, and demystifies. This one that just uses plain language, like my fine love pastor, yeah, anyway. You don't. He's anointed, but leave him. We don't like him. Eh? Now, you think that this man is more accurate, because he's able to say some things very powerfully. No. Revelations can be subjective to the preacher. Some things that I will say, if I am not speaking doctrinally, they are subjective, which means they may work here and not work in another place. Most of the people telling you it's not about having prayer life and all. I have spoken to many of them when they had issues. They said, "Bro, I'm going on a retreat. This battle is too much." But they will not tell you on the altar. For whatever reason, Jesus maintained a consistent prayer life. Because as far as this earth is concerned, you must understand the mystery of sonship and servanthood. When it has to do with your assignment on earth, he is your God, not your father. When it has to do with your status in the kingdom, you are a son. You are no more servants, for I call you friends. You are a son. So you need to understand how these things work. Doctrinally, once something is doctrinally established, no rhema can shift it. Come on now. Except a man is born again, he cannot see his doctrine. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you gave your life? Christ said, "No, we have not so much as heard that there's anything such as the Holy Ghost." He said, "No." He said, "John baptized with water, but he prophesied that he that cometh after him will not baptize with water, but with the Holy Ghost and fire. And Paul laid his hands on them, and they all spoke in tongues and prophesied. Which means that if you generally get the authentic operation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it should come with prophecy. It's like buy one, get one free. Because when you are able to pray in tongues, it is through the gift of prophecy that is flowing with it, you'll be getting interpretations. And understand, like, it's like this thing as I'm praying, my mind is going to my mother. I need to call her. Then mama will say, I have been sick since yesterday. As I was praying, I was praying the spirit, my heart was, you see, because this thing works in the heart. The way this thing works is in the heart. So when you are praying in tongues, you release your faith, you are praying, God will be channeling your thoughts along a certain direction. Not all those areas. Go and check them after you have prayed. So we have established that there's such a thing as the power of Satan. But that's not the good news. The good news is that the least among us is greater in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Come on, are you here? You see, I'm a bit concerned because some of us are used to listening to words, but not God's word. And we must now go back and ask, when somebody says something, is this thing doctrinally based or revelation based? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 17 to 19. 1 Thessalonians 2, 17 to 19. I want to show you something here. So once I'm able to lay this foundation, I just want you to get it so that you won't go and sleep when you should be praying. Then you also understand that which has been given to you. The essence of this message is not to make you afraid of Satan. No, he has been put under your feet. But there is something that the scripture refers to. He said he has wiles. Huh? He has what? Wiles or strategies. So Satan is a master strategist. If he has failed to get you in the spiritual realm, he will fight you on the soulish realm. And the problem with the soulish realm is that this, your soul is you. So he will fight you through the things that you love. Because Satan will fight power with deception. You may be committing sin. And when you want to lead worship on Sunday, the power of God will fall down and say, wow. Maybe I'll preach a message in this church, the grace that misleads. The grace that what? Misleads. Samson spent his time with a woman, but his anointing was still there. So those things happen at the realm of the soul. Your spirit may be right with God. But Satan seeking to gain entrance has met with a resistance in the spirit realm. He will come to the soulish realm and begin to give suggestions. Suggestions. Peradventure, he will see what you react to. It's like testing what a particular bacteria is reacting to at the lab. They say don't use a artemisinin combination. They'll give you another family of malaria because you've used Coartem. Nothing is working. Say, you know what? Let's combine the injection with the drug to combat it. It's because they've tested and they noticed that at the lab that when they used ordinary Coartem, you didn't react. The infection was still there. But when they changed the drug, so that's why you notice they can say, okay, don't use this drug again. Use this one. It's still for the same treatment. But that drug will work for you. Somebody else will use the normal Coartem and will be fine. So, Satan will try to gain entrance into your soul by suggestions. Come on, say suggestions. Suggestions. And you will see the one you react to. That's why Satan knows your spec. Abraham loved fair women. Isaac loved fair women. Same thing with Jacob. It's a family thing. Come on, say suggestions. That's why when Satan comes to you in a calculated way, you notice he comes with great force. You'll be wondering, what's happening? No, they have your data. Because whatever they get about you, they plunge it into the database. This guy likes tall, light-skinned, with very curvy, you know. So they have your details. Then when he's not happy, he likes this other one. When he's happy, he likes this one. They know. So for you to think, when they say somebody has strategy, that should also let you know he has database. Come on, are you here? For somebody to have strategy, he must have what?
Database.
It's not like, oh, every time they... If Satan has to be repackaging a product every time they want to sell, it won't make profit. So they have the different solutions that they can deploy and apply. Anytime he doesn't have money or loses his job, he starts drinking. So what we are going to do now, we'll introduce him to a new item, a new beer. He will just take it twice, 3 months before we fire him. If a person loses his job, he should be saving money now. But when people lose their job, they drink. I spoke to a man, he said, there's something about alcohol. Once you take it, you easily become addicted. He used the word easily. He said you will even know that you are addicted. Because it puts you at another level. I was talking to a Christian yesterday, and she said, I've been smoking weed, though. A lady, I've been smoking weed. Say it takes you to say I asked her, I said, how is it? She said, when you take it, he said it heightens everything. You know. Now, I'm not telling you to go and take it. I'm telling you why you should not take it. She says, whatever you are feeling, if you are feeling happy, it will hide. I used to have a Igbo colleague then in Oshoni Bank. She told me, she said, I can't spend time with you until I've taken beer. I said, why? She said, it makes everything easier. When she said easier, I said, let's go. We are going back to the office now. We went to see a client's office behind our building. So I was wondering why she was even talking to me. I was like, that I know that, when a lady begins to give you a secret, we are going somewhere. She told me, she said, once I start getting, say, like, we have to go and take some drinks. I said, I don't take beer. She said, but you buy for me. And I said, why? She said, it makes every other thing easier. That when you take alcohol to a level, the way you think changes. What you think you could not do, your mind will begin to tell you, okay, this is the time. I asked her, I said, when they did your naming ceremony, did they use alcohol? Did they put alcohol on your lips? there are some cultures, when they name, they use, I said, so that's where many of us created the problem. We couldn't leave alcohol because from the very first day, say you will live long, he say, you'll be great, he say. The boy came to Lagos, started drinking like a fish. I ran from the lady. I said, I beg. Marketing will not turn to another thing. I'm going back to the office. When a lady begins to tell you a secret, a personal secret, you have to be wise. It's not that she likes you. Satan is standing there. What does that scripture ask you to give me? But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with what? Now, the word great qualifies the emotions. With what? So what did Paul pray for? The grace to see those people again, the church of Thessalonica, right? Was it a good thing? Now, Paul going to Thessalonica, is it to advance the gospel? Please answer me. Now, do you think God would have been interested in Paul going there to establish that church? To teach them, to impart them. Yes. Next verse. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, the apostle, the epistle, the living epistle, the apostle of Most High God, I would have come to you in power and anointing. But what? Satan did what? Where are you going? It's me, Paul. He covered up. I'm not going. You went there. I allow you to start church. You want to go again? So you can. Now, sir, they say there's nothing like power of Satan. This is the person Jesus said he should open the eyes of blind. This is the same person Jesus said, turn them from the power of darkness into the power of light. This is the guy that was going up and down. But when he wanted to take that mandate to Thessalonica, they say, hey, Drombe. We are not the other demons that we are on duty here. We don't chicken out. You are not going. Was Paul able to break through? No. Tell your neighbor, pray. Tell your neighbor, don't be tired. The first beneficiary of prayer is you. I say the first beneficiary of prayer is who? It's you. Not even the person you are praying for. Don't be tired. When you are cooking for your children, then your mind will stray away. When you are now mixing the salt, you remember you are praying. You continue. Yes. Then you are going to the bathroom with toothpaste in your mouth. Hey, your voice must not be far from heaven. Because some people now, their altars have ashes. It's been a while they saw them. God, I said, where is he? They say he's in Lagos. Eh? Have not seen him. They say he's going to church. I have not seen him. Say my voice. David said, my voice that we hear in the morning. Paul said he was hindered by forces. It is unfair of anybody to tell you. If truly God sent you, you will meet with resistance. People in your family don't get married till they are 37. And you got married at 32 and you expect it to be a walk in the park. Come on, wake up. This breakthrough at your doorstep, you think it's going to come cheap? This is the time for you to give yourself to God, to the service of God. When things start getting good for you, bury yourself and start serving God. Don't let Satan meet you loafing. Jesus, the scripture said God, in that parable, God came to the market. What are you doing here? Say, nobody to our house. Say, come. God hates people being lazy. Not just in your workplace, but spiritually. Some of you know that, literally speaking, you don't really have enough time Monday to Friday to serve God. But even Saturday, Sunday, you still do not serve God. The local church provides you an avenue to be effective and minimally useful. Minimally. I was with Pastor Kola in Jos, and we spoke, and he took out a spreadsheet. Oh, he's going to be here today, so I will convince him if he can come. You know, Pastor Kola did. It's good to have friends who are not just spiritual but intelligent. He's doing his fourth PhD now. 9 masters, 4 PhDs. So stay there and keep convincing yourself that God will do it. My friend is my age mate. He has started university in Cote d'Ivoire. Are you listening to me? I looked at him. I told him, I said, this cannot be man. This is the hand of God upon you. At your age, you are not even 45. Do you think Nigeria will allow such a person to thrive? At your age, got license to start university in another country that you don't speak their language and they gave you. Are you listening to me? Are you with me now? There's still the spirit of enterprise that God gives to those who trust him. Stop thinking small and saying his holiness. A lot of people are just comfortable. I was talking to him. He said, oh, there's this university in Florida. I want to give you their link. Check their program. You can do this. Say, and there's this other course in finance. I said, Dr. Kola, you're to your law. I said, I love books. And some of you know I love books. I learn new things, but this is your own. This is your own. It's not normal. Started a clothes fabric industry. Started an IT company. It's a contractor to 34 out of 36 governments, state governments in Nigeria. Starting a gas plant in Plateau State. Starting a university. Are you with me? It's not normal. For someone that just eat 40. Hello? Are you hearing me?
How old are you?
It's not the fact that you did something. I said, but when people look at it, they say, no man can do this thing except the Spirit of God is with him. Then Jesus said, hold it. This teaching time, except a man be born again. You are talking about the Spirit of God coming upon him. I'm talking to you about the process where you will be possessed by the Spirit of God. Except a man be born again. He cannot. He cannot. Because before you enter, there must be entrance. There must be sight. You have to see where before you jump. We went to eat and he showed me his hands. He said, touch it. And he told me in Yoruba, I said, these hands, they are just getting soft. I use one cream to rub my hand. Because for the better part of my life, I worked at the farm in Oyo State. He said, these hands, no cutlass. They know, you know those, the O's of those days, not all these ones you see on cartoon. Oh, the one with wooden, huh? He said, my hands have become so stiff and hard. I had to buy a particular cream. So when I lay hand on people, they won't think it's blade that is cutting their head. But if you, some of you have met, were you here, sir, the last time he came? You look at him, you won't think it's anything. Oh, those people who are trying to show, you are empty. You are empty. Those who really have, you don't have time for all this bling bling. And his heart is not in those things. All these cars, all these things. His heart is not there. He was saying, this thing you have to teach. I said, me, I will teach you with all the things you know. Let me too have something that you don't have. Let me have something that you don't have. Kilode, you will come here and take over again. Leave this one for us. Let it be that your brother to have something small. Eh? Paul says, Satan hindered us. Now, if there's any area of your life you have found resistance, that is the area you must be. Are you here? If you have found resistance in the area of your, maybe your businesses are always failing, there's something there. That's why there's resistance. So the key is not to say, give up. The solution is not to say, I'm tired. Come on, are you with me now? Because some of you say, I've tried. 5 years, nothing's working. If there was nothing there, Satan would stay there. You try to go to school, you must go. Even if it's open university, you must. If you have a boss that says, until I see you out of this office, I will not rest. That means there's a promotion here. So between you and the boss, somebody will go. Pay attention. As I'm talking, I want you to be looking at different areas of your life. The areas that have been, you have experienced major resistance. Areas where Satan fights you even when you are not fighting. Huh? Write them down. Identify them. Then you are going to change your strategy. Because apparently your strategy is not working. Are you learning now? You know why I like Dr. Kola is that when I talk to him, I think. My time is up, but we'll come back. I don't know. This warfare thing is getting tiring. Let's talk about... what do you like to talk about? But I hope somebody is learning. Now, because many of us are getting older, the stakes are higher. Huh? You were not married 3 years ago. Now you are married. The battle will move to a... Because now, it's not just you now. You have a child. Come on now. If your child is under attack, how will he know? He doesn't know. The baby cannot talk. You are the one that will say, something's happening here. You must condition your house to have a particular aura. So that when you come in and something has changed, something is wrong here. Who came here? Who came to the house? Who entered this room? I went somewhere. I went to a shopping mall a few days ago. So I was telling my wife, I wanted to buy a gift. By the time they gave me the bill for the gift, I remember I've never bought anything for myself like that in my life. So I said, okay, your Bible say, where you are taking care of a sick person, you also take care of yourself. So if we are at the hospital and you are saying, Pastor, take this cup of tea. You now put 2 spoons of pig milk with 2 spoons of Milo in the cup.
you put another cup. You take 2 spoons for yourself. Because as you are taking care of me, you have to also, because you are there, you are working, so you have to. So we'll both be taking the tea and then you tell me, Pele, Pele. You understand? So, so I realized that this, when they brought that very shiny gift, I realized that, I've never bought anything like this for myself. And I looked at the shopping mall. Now, there was no cash. There was no cash for Faji. You know that kind of cash where you just want to, blow. But when people are greeting, you're welcome, sir. So that welcome, sir, must trickle down to spending money. So as I ordered, picked the gift, I said, I don't have cufflinks. So I picked cufflinks. And also a particular headset. Very expensive. And please, if you see me wearing any headset, don't ask me, don't talk to me. There is no prayer, fasting that can make me give you that headset. There's no, because I'm just telling you. So it is very lovely. It's very lovely. But I'm just telling, in case you are someone that likes good things, just pass by me. Don't talk. Don't even ask me, Pastor, this is lovely. If the moment you say it, I walk away. I now ask them, I say, does this one have a memory card? I say, yes. I say, okay. I bought a memory card, loaded my friends on Pastor Chinto. I loaded it inside. I say, I don't want those noisy musicians. So those ones that are only standing on top of cars and dancing and saying that, give me cool-headed people that can give me hymns. Give me. I just, as we sat inside the plane, you can please turn off your phones. The plane took off, I didn't know. The plane landed, I didn't know. I was in God's presence. So I handed my friend his gift. Me, I kept my headset. And I hid the headset. Because if he sees it, he can take it. So, and I won't be able to say no. So I hid it, gave him his own gift. There's a level of investment that you must scale in for you to be able to take certain positions. And if you, for any reason, think that as you are getting older, things are going to get better in that sense. Yes, they will get better, but with warfare. Then you are lying. You have a wife, you have a husband, it's not the time to sleep. If you married a woman and you notice she is not doing well, she was doing fine till she married you, but now she's not there, then you have a reason to pray. The next time you go to your wife's in-law's house, they should be saying, thank you. Because they can see that their daughter is blossoming. Not that you killed as ministry, turned her to prayer warrior, and killed her completely. She's now lean because she's fasting because of you. If you are the God called you to fast, leave the woman alone now. You are the one that wants to die here. Allow the woman to eat and look fresh while you are fasting. Why must everybody fast in the house? Because God told you to fast. Maybe you are the one that God spoke to. You now declare fasting. The Lord said you should wait on him. The Lord did not say you should wait on him. The Lord said you should wait on him. 7 days. Everybody fast. After, your children will leave school. Say, why are you not going to say, I just want to rest in, I want to rest in my friends. It's a lie. It's because of you. Because of you. Were you. Everything. Fasting. Say we must defeat every devil. Fasting. Now the children vacate for school, they can't come home. Sir, Funke, you have added weight too. School is fine, no? The next day, at morning devotion, the Lord said we should pray. From prayer, the Lord said we should fast. Daddy, when will you change? Those things are good. They are good, but you must know the instructions that are for you. When we come second service, we'll take some time to pray. Because I'm persuaded. The problem with the deliverance ministry in Nigeria, let me explain, is that most times we don't really believe some things can be permanently settled. So you can be going to church for 20 years, still praying the same prayers, and you are never free. And before you say, sir, but we prayed this prayer last week, say, every power! And before you say, sir, you are the one not praying, so you have to join them. It's possible to live in victory. It's possible to live, but victory is not divorced from truth. It's not divorced from knowledge. Because you will now realize that there are some things you have been praying about that are not prayer matters. a brother was proposing to his sister or was interested in his sister. And he went to the sister's house. Very beautiful and very neat sister. Got to her house and saw that the house was scattered. Saw where she just dumped all her clothes that are unwashed. He didn't say anything. He just went to join prayer band. So when he said, "You are not coming to the house again," he said, "No, I joined the prayer unit. We are always praying. We are always praying. Don't worry, I'll call you later." See, the distance was created and everything went. He could not face the lady to tell her, "You are not a neat person." So instead of doing that, he went to join the prayer band. Killing all the demons in Maryland. Because if you tell her she's not neat, that matter will still be settling it now. But the lady was praying, yet she could not sustain the answer. There are matters and items in spiritual warfare that are not prayer related. They are revelation related. So before you open your mouth and say, "Satan is under my feet," I hope you have prayer life. "Satan is under my feet. Satan is under my feet." And you are doing your leg like this. I hope you have prayer life. I hope you know how to pray at night. Huh? That's why I warn everybody. If you see a man of God, even if his revelation is not always correct, but if he has prayer life, avoid him. Are you hearing me now? Eh? There's a reason why Pastor Adeboye and Dr. Eko are their neighbors. Huh? There's a reason, no? So when you leave this one, you cross to the other side, enter the other one. There's a reason. One of my uncles, all these people, their parents are not scriptural. For 6 years, they didn't have a child. He was going to one church here where they are blowing them plenty. Success is who you are. Yeah, that's what he was doing for 7 years. No child. That's what he was doing for 7 years. And he was a very strong critic. And he will open Bible and show you. These things are not scriptural. Not scriptural. But 7 years. He knew what was not scriptural, but he didn't know what will work for him. He didn't know that one. But he could tell what was not working for others. The one day they said, "Let's humble ourselves." Because every birthday we'll gather. "Come, happy birthday." For the wife, she'll be crying. Every year. Very beautiful. I don't know anybody in this church that is as beautiful as that woman. My wife knows the woman I'm talking about. She's very beautiful. But she could not forgive herself that she couldn't have a child. Until she went to MFM. You may be anything. You may be an MD. When you come, you remove your earrings at the gate. We don't want distraction. Come, are you hearing me now? You know, I'm not saying she remove your earrings. I'm telling you that as you are going back to pray, remove distractions. Because when I say you want to pray, you hold your phone. 3 phones. You don't have a job, but you have 3 phones. You have 5 SIM cards. Who do you? Who do you? 5 SIM cards. 2 MTN. Glow. You even have the one from Zimbabwe. What's wrong with you? Remove distractions. I'm telling you why people say they pray, but they didn't pray. From that gate, they remove you. You take off all those things. They'll put you into groups. They have prayer schedules. You can't stay in the room. "So I just want to rest." Who are you? Did you come to rest or to pray? Come out. Come on. Everybody, come out. Come on. Pray. Hold your hands. 2 by 2. 3 by 3. 4 by 4. Deliverance. Self-deliverance. Spiritual wife. Spiritual wife. Plus the one you have and you don't have, you pray. But when he got to that, he couldn't argue again. All his theology was rubbished. You understand? So he had to humble himself. He drove from where AIT is. Where is AIT? That... Alagbado. He drove from there to this place. Now, do you know the distance? Do you have an idea what the distance is? Because some of you are behaving like you are not in this country. When you go to that area, you may not even come to Lagos in 6 months. He went there. Come on, are you here now? After he finished, he crossed the street, the road. Enter Redeem. You know, it's one thing when the doctor says, "Oh, you have hormonal imbalance, you have this, that's why you cannot have a child." It's another when they check you, they say they can't find anything. The doctor say they can't find anything, but I still don't have a child. And every time people greet her, or they come with their children, she's broken. She tries not to show it. She goes into her room, she's weeping uncontrollably. That, as fine as I am. Do you know when they left the two camps? There was nobody fell under the anointing. Nothing happened to them. Dr. Oluka just said, go and rejoice. You know, the cry does not lay hands. He will just declare from the altar. They got home. First child. Bam! See, the reason why we will not get... time has gone. The reason why we will not get what we are looking for at the same level is because our level of desperation is different. Somebody came from Alagbado, she knows she cannot come back again. Today, 3 a.m. prayer, 6 a.m., 8 a.m. Listen, I was telling Pastor David, I wanted to ask some of us to come around for 3 days. Let's come and pray for 6 hours during the week. But all of you are big people. We'll just play a song and this thing. We'll be praying. Doing 10 to 2 or 10 to 3 p.m. Then we'll go for 5 days. Or we'll do 3. For those who are strong, come for 5 days. But I'm afraid of you people. Because you see, to come, you will use your energy. You will enter transport. You will come. It's not online. We will not broadcast on Mixella. Man of God, the issue was not that they had a child that year. It's that before the first child became one, she was getting ready to have another one. In less than 3 years, any small attempt, boom, pregnancy. Any small attempt. So at some point, the husband started... It's like we overprayed that prayer. We overprayed. Hey, my brother, is it possible to overpray? Just, you can't even decide to relax with your wife. You'll get the result. Say your result is out. Every delay in your life is canceled. It will happen now. The hand of God will come upon you speedily. In the name of Jesus. Every barrier is taken away. Listen, maybe you have been praying or fasting or whatever. Don't worry, second service here. Before we preach, we'll pray. Some of you don't even know that you've been on one spot for so long. And you are consoling yourself with the fact that everybody is at that level. Hey! If truly you found the word of God, it must be working for you. If truly. I didn't say you didn't hear the word of God. I said if you found it. But I said when you find it, it shall be what? The scripture says when thou hast found it. Then the expectation of righteous shall not be cut short. They had 3 children. Since that day, that my brother. All these churches. You just stand up, you leave them. I don't condemn men of God. They are my fathers. He was still going to do his success motivation, but now he's wise. He's wise. 3 lovely children, about 2 years ago, he took his children, all of them went to Dubai. Yellow man, yellow woman, they are trying like Oyinbo. But if he has sat there trying to correct the revelation, see, when God calls a man, he anoints him in a unique way. That's why if I joke with you, my joke is prophecy. It's the way I'm crafted. You have to know the way your anointing is crafted. If you are too familiar with me, my prayer cannot work for you. It's the way it is. If you look down upon me in my heart, in your heart, even if I don't know, my prayer will not work for you. Even if I prophesy and lay leg and hand, it will not work. It's the way I'm crafted. Come on, say my eyes are open. When we come back for 7 I'll take time to pray. But please, go and listen to this message again. Because some of you think you have heard me. I just told you, when God begins to bless you, It is not the time for you to become a big man. It's a time for you to serve God more. That's where Satan caught up with many people. The job God gave them was the reason why they stopped coming to church. The job God gave them was the reason why they couldn't serve God again. The scripture says God is the God of prophet. Have you heard that before? God is the God of prophet. Not the business you are doing. Not the association you belong. Say God is the God. People are laboring, but very few are getting profit. Okay. That's why I tell you, all of you that just open your mouth and say, there are some men of God like Arume and all of you. Don't talk. If I know you to be a preacher, but not a prayer person. When you listen like Arume, he knows what he's saying. You understand? He knows what he's saying. He's not just preaching. He knows what he's saying. He knows what he's saying. If you go to Makodi, you cannot sing until you have prayed minimum of 7 hours. Minimum. You can't sing. Forget about where you are coming from. If I try that one here now, the Insta blog will carry me. Lift up your hands. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus, every hindrance is taken away. One thing about hindrance is that it goes down with a shout. I said every hindrance is taken away.